receive your praise, Father. You deserve glory. You deserve our lives. You deserve our worship, God. So receive it, for you are holy, God. God, we honor you, and I pray, Father, as we even dive in your word this morning, I pray, Father, that your spirit would speak to our hearts and invite us to be in a place that we will welcome God's truth and walk in God's truth and embrace God's truth so that we can experience transformation in Jesus. We honor and we love you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And before we sit down, we're going to read Proverbs chapter 15, verses 18. Proverbs 15, verses 18. We're still in our sermon series, Wisdom for Life. And what we are trying to communicate is that when we live our lives in the way that God intends, life begins to make sense. And the opposite is true. When you live your life the way you intend, life does not actually make sense. And so we learn, and there's so much wisdom, especially in the book of Proverbs. So today we're reading Proverbs 15, verse 18. It's what the Bible says. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead and have a seat. And today we'll be talking on the theme, lead your emotions or be led by them. Lead your emotions or be led by them. You know, when you go online these days, there's just so much anger. You know, like the way people, the things people are writing about, the way people are like responding, you know, to stuff online. You look around, it's just like, you know, there's just so much anger. And I know maybe a part of it is, you know, kind of like where we're living, you know, in this day and age. But there's also a reality that you know, there's almost no consequence, so you cannot see the person online, yeah? So you just go, I'm going to say whatever, you know, I will say to them. But talking about anger, I think all of us are actually prone to anger because there's all kinds of things that can make us angry. Some of you maybe are experiencing anger today, or maybe you already experienced it this morning. You know, some of you are angry at yourself. Like you're angry because you cannot imagine how you let yourself get to that place. So you're angry with yourself. You know, you're angry with your, you know, the things that you said or the things that you did. So you find yourself being like, I don't know why I did that. I don't know if you've ever had moments when you're like thinking, and then a scenario that maybe even happened 10 years ago pops in that you're not proud of. Yeah. And then you just go like, like I hate that. I don't want to be that. Right? Some of us are angry at ourselves. Some of us are maybe just angry at someone because of what they did to us or because of what they say to us. And that someone could be a boss, a work colleague, a relative, a spouse. You're angry at what they say because of what they said and what they did to you. You know, some of us are angry with God. You know, maybe we're asking God to do certain things for us and he never did. Maybe we're asking God and these prayers never got answered. So we're angry at God because for us, we think that he doesn't really care for me and he doesn't really care about me. So then you're just like angry towards God. Some of us haven't even spoken to God in a long time, you know, because we're just angry towards him. Some of us are angry with the world. You know, we look around us, there's just like brokenness all around us. You wake up in the morning, you look to the right, to the left, all you see is just brokenness around you, and you cannot help it but just be angry that things have to be this way. Some of us are angry and we don't know why. Ever had those moments? You just wake up and you're mad. You don't even know why you're mad. You don't even know what's going on, right? And maybe there's somebody here saying, no, I've never experienced that. I'm not like that. Maybe you can ask your kids. They'll tell you that, yeah. Or maybe your friends, right? It does happen that sometimes we act in a certain way because of anger. Erwin McManus, a pastor in America, says, your emotions do not give you the right to your actions. Your emotions do not give you the right to your actions. In other words, just because you feel something, it doesn't mean that you have to act like what you're feeling. You have the right to feel. but you do not have the right to act like how you feel. That's a different thing. And this does not mean that you should not feel your emotions. Actually, go ahead, feel your emotions. You know, emotions are actually meant to be felt. But you should watch out that you then don't let your emotions have mastery over you. You know, for you and I, God has given us a garment of emotions. It's a gift to feel emotions. You know, God wants you to feel the joy that He's given you. You know, to feel sad, to feel happy, to feel excited, to feel even anger, to feel the disgust. This is a whole range, you know, of emotions that God has given you. However, allowing yourself to feel is not the same as taking action in accordance to how you're feeling. Because feeling is actually separate from action. Because feeling might not be a choice, but your actions is always going to be a choice. Your actions will always be a choice. So you are responsible for your actions. You are responsible for your actions. You know, we live our lives often thinking that we're in control of so many things. You know, we think we're in control of our lives, but really you're not. You know, we think we're in control of our job, but actually you're not. You think you're in control of your health. You think you're in control of your money. But actually, there's not a lot of things that you're in control of. You're not even in control of your car. You think you are. But actually, you're in control of the steering wheel. You're not in control of the car. Yesterday, I was driving and my car, my exhaust just like snapped in half. I was not in control of that. If it was up to me, I wouldn't let that happen, right? But I'm in control of the steering wheel. But I'll tell you the one thing that you are actually in control of. Always, every time, you're in control of your behavior. You are in control of your actions. You're not in control of so many things, but actually you're in control of your actions. So you're in charge of your behavior, you're in charge of your response, the response that you give to other people. So it doesn't matter what makes you angry. It doesn't matter where your anger is coming from. You are actually in control of the response that you're going to have. And most of us feel like, hey, I'm going to be angry depending on where the source of my anger is coming from. But even though you have the right to feel, but how you express your emotions, how you express your anger actually matters. And this is why in this passage, you know, Solomon talks about, you know, these two types of people. You have hot-tempered people and you have cold-tempered people. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict. But the one who is calm, what they're going to choose is patience. And that response is going to help to stop a fight. The difference is not in the feeling. The difference is in the response. We all can feel the anger and coming in. We can feel it. But then our difference is going to be in how we respond to the anger. You know, the people that will have a better response to anger are the ones that are slow to get angry. And the ones that will let their anger lead to conflict are the ones that are quick to get angry. The ones that are quick to get angry. They let their emotions get hold of them. And when you let your anger lead you to conflict, in that moment, you're actually letting your emotions get hold of you. But do not let your emotions get hold of you. Get hold of your emotions. In other words, get hold of your emotions before your emotions get hold of you. Before they get hold of you. You know, because for you and I, we're going to lead our lives and we're going to let our lives be led by emotions, or we're going to lead our emotions. You know, when you think about anger, first of all, is a dangerous emotion. But I feel like there's a right way that you can channel it and express it, you know, the right way. And often, the better way to express anger is often where you direct your anger or the object of your anger. Then when it's directed in the right space, it could actually be a tool that God could use for the glory of His name. So we are invited for you and I, the ones that have put our faith in Jesus, to actually handle anger well, better. So how do we do this? I want to just propose two ways and then I'm going to go into some practical ways that we could do this. Here's the first thing that you could do. Do not make the person the enemy. Make the injustice the enemy. Do not make the person the enemy. Make the injustice the enemy. Proverbs 15:18, at the start, it says a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict. The reason why conflict comes is because you see the person as the enemy. That is it. You know, so you are angry with them, and therefore you find yourself in a scenario of me versus them, me versus her, me versus him. But that is actually misdirecting what you're feeling. When you direct your anger towards people, you make them an enemy, and you fail to fight the injustice that just happened towards you, and you start fighting the person. That's not the way of God. Because for you and I, as people that have come to know Jesus, every single time we choose to fight people, we lose. No matter what you think the outcome is, every single time you're going to fight somebody, you lose. You lose. And the better way that God is calling you is that you would direct your anger to the injustice you are experiencing or the injustice others are experiencing. Because this way, you are actually making the right enemy. The enemy is not the person. The enemy is the injustice. And for you and I, we are not called to fight people. But I'll tell you one thing that we are called to. We are actually called to fight injustice. We are called to fight injustice. Now, here's the thing. When you make people the enemy, what's going to happen is that you might find yourself perpetuating the same sin that brings injury to you. You might find yourself causing the same injury that was caused to you. Because when we make people the enemy, we want to get even with them. Actually, often, to be honest, we get uneven. Because if somebody steps on your toe, guess what you're going to do? You want to break their leg. Right? So we don't even get even. We actually get uneven. So we lose every single time. We're going to make people the enemy. When you make someone the enemy, what happens is that you think that I'll get rid of them so that I get rid of the injustice. But that's not God's way. God's way is that I'll get rid of the injustice but preserve the person. Preserve the person. Because God always, God is for life. God is for people. Always. God is for you. God is actually for them, including the people you don't like. God is actually for them. So then maybe it's better for you to ask the question, what is the injustice happening here? And how can I confront that injustice? What is going on here? Because even though they're in front of me, but they are not the enemy. The enemy is the injustice. And when you do that, you don't push people away. You actually bring them in. That is a more considered way that you're being invited to as a believer, as a Christian. So the first thing that you're going to do is that you're not going to make the person the enemy, but the injustice. Some of us have made our dads the enemy. Some of us have made our moms the enemy. Some of us have made our boss the enemy, or our friend the enemy, or our spouse the enemy. They are not the enemy. It's the injustice that's the enemy. The second thing that you could do, in this is, do not fight injustice out of anger. Fight injustice out of compassion. Do not fight injustice out of anger. Fight injustice out of compassion. A patient person, the one who is patient, the one who is calm, is going to calm the quarrel. In other words, they will stop the fight before the fight even begins. The reality is that injustice happened because you and I live in a broken world. We live in a broken world full of broken people. And these broken people are actually sinful human beings. That means they're going to make choices that will hurt them and hurt us. That means people will make choices that will bring an injury to us. And when we see an injustice, our response to that matters. That we don't respond to injustice with anger, but actually with compassion. Because only compassion is going to lead you to love your enemies. You know, Jesus Christ encourages us to pray for our enemies. When you begin to pray for your enemy, What happens is that your heart changes because you cannot pray for someone without starting to bless them. And when you begin to bless someone, then your heart actually desires for them to really be blessed. But then you're going to begin to look around their life and see what is it that is actually pulling them away from God's blessing. What is a bondage that they're experiencing? And that becomes the enemy that you're going to be fighting. Only compassion can actually bring us that. Only compassion can lead you to pray for your enemies. To pray for your enemies. Compassion is going to lead you to see other people that they are human beings who are created in the image of God. And you will start to feel for people. Do you know that there are moments that people hurt you because they themselves are hurt? Do you know that there are moments when people actually cause an injury to you because they themselves carry a wound that they're yet to heal from? It could be possible that they experienced an injustice themselves, only that they had unhealthy way to respond to that injustice, so they keep on injuring others. And for you to actually pause and be like, could it be possible that there is more to this? They are not just an angry person. They are not just a harsh and a controlling person. Could it be possible that they experience something in their life that's causing them to be doing what they're doing to me? Could that be possible? Maybe the problem is not maybe the problem is not with your dad. Maybe it's actually how they grew up and the injustice they experienced. Hey, maybe the problem is not actually your work colleague. Maybe nobody told them that they are worthy of love. Or maybe they live their life not thinking they're worthy of love. So therefore, they treat everybody else that way. They experienced an injustice themselves. As that firm is saying, hurt people hurt people. Maybe they got betrayed. So now they became cynical, where they're thinking everybody's up to get them. So even if you're being kind towards them, they are wondering, what are you up to? What are you going to do next? Right? So then they might treat you harshly. So maybe it's a moment for us to just pause and be like, what's really happening? This is a human being who was created in the image of God. And there is a reason why they are finding themselves there. So we're going to respond to them with compassion and kindness, because it is possible that they are bringing an injury because they are carrying a wound. They themselves. All right. How do we respond to this? And what are some ways that we respond to this? But, you know, before I actually go there, the question that really captivated me was, why anger? Why angry? And that's a good question to ask yourself. Every single time you're angry, ask yourself, why am I angry? What's going on? Why? Am I angry? Because there could be all sorts of reasons why you're angry towards them. Now, when I was thinking about reasons why sometimes I have found myself to be angry, I could come up with three. I know some of you could come up with three or even more reasons why somebody else would be angry. And I just want to mention these three reasons why you could be angry. Number one, sometimes you're angry because your values and beliefs have been violated. Like, your value has been violated, your belief has been violated, and therefore you find yourself being angry. You know, what they said about you, what they did to you goes against the values you carry and you care about, and the belief that you've got. And therefore you find yourself being so angry because they're violating a value in you. When you find a value being violated, a belief being violated, your first response shouldn't be to attack. Your first response should be to go to God first. Because when our values are violated, that actually pushes us off balance and we find ourselves kind of just floating. Because then we begin to doubt who we are. We are beginning to doubt our identity. And when you go to God, you will find that God affirms your identity. God tells you, you're my daughter. God tells you, I love you. God tells you, I am for you. I'm not against you. God says, you're my son. You belong to me. So when you find yourself angry because a value has been violated, go to God first. before you go to the person, before you go about confronting them. Bring that hurt to God. Bring whatever you're experiencing to God, because it is in God that you're going to find an anchoring that you need, because He is your anchor. You go to God and He says, no, what I say is actually true than what they're saying. What I tell you is better than whatever you're hearing out there. I am for you. So go to God. And when you do that, you will see your response is going to be different. Most of us go to people first before we go to God. And then we mess up there that we regret. We become a kind of people that we're not proud of, because we are running to people first. Go to God first. Some of us just need to sit in God's presence. Because when you sit in God's presence, then you experience His love. You experience His grace for you, His mercy, His compassion towards you. And now when you're going to be like, hey, let's go sort out this issue, you find yourself being patient, able to listen, invite them in, and really see what's really going on. You're going to be in a better off place. And so most of us, we just need to just be in God's presence. Maybe we're responding harshly because we are forgetting how much God loves us, that we belong to God. What if you were to go back to God first before you go to them? Number two, sometimes you're angry because what's being said reveals the ugliness within you. You know, there are moments when you're angry, not because what's being said is untrue, but because it is true. Like what they're pointing out, is it actually true? Maybe yes, you are greedy. Maybe yeah, you're actually full of pride and selfishness. So sometimes we get angry not because what they're saying is untrue, but because it is true, and we don't like seeing that ugliness within us. So in other words, we don't like seeing us. We're not proud of who we are, and therefore our response tends to be anger. But actually in that moment, when somebody points out something, a shortfall in you that's true, thank God. Praise God. Celebrate that. To be like, thank God, this is God's grace towards me, so that I choose the best version of myself and remain in that place. To be like, they said what? Praise God. Praise God. I want to make sure that this is no longer here. And some of us are angry with people because we are unwilling to confront our sin. So we would rather protect our sin than confront it. And therefore, the way we do that is that we become angry and we respond harshly towards them. I don't know if you have noticed this, but often the people that struggle with a certain sin tend to be harsh towards the people that struggle with the same sin. You know, this is why, like, scripture talks about, like, being gentle when you're restoring someone. Because someone else's sin can be a trigger to yours. You know, some of us, we will come face to face with a person who struggles with the same sin as us, and we get angry towards them. Why? Because their struggle exposes our struggle. So it's as if you're seeing yourself in a mirror. So then you're angry towards them, but you're actually not angry towards them, you're angry towards yourself. You don't like seeing who you are. You don't like seeing what's being projected. So often, watch out. That's why, you know, in Christ there's no condemnation. There's only grace in Jesus. But you and I sometimes can find ourselves condemning, and that's it's a way of condemning what's inside. Sometimes we're angry because what's being projected is actually true. And maybe there are some of you that God has given you the grace, exposed the thing in you, but you are unwilling to confront it. And what you have done is you have created a story. You have created a narrative. So you're telling yourself and justifying your anger even up to now, because you don't want to really confront what's there, what's happening. So you have convinced yourself, because you have told this story so many times. But God is inviting you to humble yourself to come into his presence where you can say, I want to let go of that. I want to embrace Jesus. I want to let go of that. I want to choose God's way, because that's God's grace towards you. And finally, sometimes our anger reveals our lack of trust in God. Sometimes our anger reveals our lack of trust in God. There are moments that we get angry, and in that anger, we begin to believe a lie. And the lie that we believe is that we fight for ourselves, so we are the only one that can fight for us. So you go around fighting. You have this burst of anger because you're going around fighting for yourself because you believe that you're the only one who can fight for you. So therefore, you believe in your own abilities to fight for you, but God is inviting you to believe in his ability to fight for you. For you to respond with patience. You know, patience is actually grounded in trust. You cannot be patient if you are unwilling to really trust God. Maybe the problem is not your boss or your spouse or your aunt or your uncle or your neighbor. Maybe the problem is that you have actually stopped trusting God. Therefore, you're angry with them. You're directing your anger towards them. But what if you were to choose to trust God? And I believe that's going to bring out a better response in you. You find yourself being slow to anger. You don't need to fight for yourself. More especially, the invitation, more especially, when you're experiencing an injustice in Scripture, often the invitation is, trust God. Wait on God. But when your neighbor is experiencing an injustice, God says, go fight for them. Because God wants to show up in their lives through you. I think for some of us, just need to be, you know what, I'm going to let go fighting. I want to just sit with God and let me see what God will do. More especially when you don't get what you want. More especially when things does not go your way. You don't get the job you want, the opportunity you want. You don't get the response you want. It's a time to sit and to say, I want to trust God. Because God is able to fight for me. He's able to support me. He's able to provide for me. He's able and he will come through for me. So I want to ask you guys three questions today as a way that you can just sit and respond to Jesus, to his spirit this morning. Number one, what are you angry with? What are you angry with? What is it for you? What's that thing that you're angry with? Number two, who are you angry with? Could be a person that's close to you, a family member, or maybe a spouse, or a boss, a work colleague. Who is it? For some of us, we're angry with our dads who are no longer with us. And you've been holding on for a long time. Or your mom, or your uncle, or someone who said stuff to you ages ago. And it is that anger that continues to drive your choices. The third question that you're going to ask is, how is the Holy Spirit inviting you to respond to this? Maybe for some of us, today is a day that we can surrender to God. For some of us, maybe God is inviting us to go be the first ones to say sorry. Or maybe to say, I forgive you. For some of us, to say, no, I'm going to let this thing go now. So I can invite Jesus to dwell in here. So that you can experience freedom. Just close your eyes for a moment and consider how is the Spirit of God inviting you to respond. And I want you to pay attention. However God might be inviting you to respond, that you actually intentionally take action towards that. We don't let go because we know the outcome, but because we trust God. We don't forgive because things will be all good and fun, but because we trust God. I wanted to just intentionally take that action where you can say, God, I know you're inviting me to do this towards that person. I want to say yes to you, Jesus. And you could be here. You have no connection with Jesus. You have never given your life to God. Or maybe you used to be a Christian, but you're no longer connected to Jesus now. Your heart is far from God. And maybe for some of you are not really angry towards God. Maybe you're living your life thinking that God is angry towards you. But I have good news. God is never angry towards you. Scripture tells us he's slow to anger. God's response towards you is actually compassion. It's actually kindness. It's grace. It's mercy. So if you have never crossed that line of faith, I want to just challenge you and invite you. What if we were to start a journey of faith today? What if we were to start a journey with Jesus today and say, Jesus, I want to just come to you right now so that you can experience his grace for you, so that you can experience his forgiveness for you. Now, if you want to do that, it could be here or maybe online. If you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to just pray this simple prayer. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Just pray that simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. One more time. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you have prayed that prayer, whether in this building or online, I want you to just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Jesus, I give you my life. Thank God. If there's anybody else, praise God. God, I thank you for these brothers and sisters. I thank you, Father. I pray that today they will know that God is never against them. He's actually for them. That in Christ, they find grace. That in Christ, they find mercy. That God is never angry with them, but he is for them. God, I pray, may they live their life wanting more of Jesus. May they live their life wanting more of God. So I thank you, God, for them. And I pray for every single one of us in this space. God, first of all, we apologize. We lay our lives down. For we've been trusting in our own ability, not in God's ability. We've been fighting for ourselves and not letting God fight for us. God, we repent. And help us, God, to take bold steps of faith where we can say, we want to now trust God from now on. We're no longer going to make people the enemy. But if we fight anything, we're going to fight injustice. Because that's our calling. In the name of Jesus, we pray.